Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from a joint service in North Bushy between Wellspring Church and Holy Trinity. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
So I'm here to bring what I feel God has laid on my heart today. And I want to start by talking about the first time that I met my children, Josh and Luke, just after they were born, and tell you the whole journey about what that was like for me. And really, when we found out that Helen was pregnant, I was so excited to meet our children. I was so excited for that moment where 9 months later, I would be able to hold them. And I had this kind of picture in my mind of what it would be like, something really kind of idyllic. And what I imagined it to be like was that Helen would be obviously there, and she would be looking tired but radiant, and they would be bringing the children, Josh and Luke, as they are now, but the babies, over to Helen, and she would hold them, and she would slowly drift off to sleep. And as she was tired, and I could then kind of have my turn to hold the two children. And then I'd pick them one up in each arm and kind of tell them about all the important things in life. You know, that Jesus loves you, that mummy and daddy love you, and that your grandparents love you, and that you absolutely must support Arsenal. And please, please, please don't be a vegetarian. You know, really important things like that. The kind of things that they must know in the first stages of life. And they'd look at me as if I'm the most interesting man ever, you know, kind of not taking their gaze off me, even if they can't fully see me at that point, you know. They'd be looking at me thinking, well, this is great, this is really nice, and I'm in my dad's arms, and this is really comfortable. And then I'd sing them nice, soft songs that would send them off to sleep, and they'd fall asleep, and life would be wonderful. That was my dream of what it'd be like when I first met Josh and Luke. That was as far from the reality as it could possibly have been. So when Josh and Luke were born, it was a long labour, and Helen went into labour 8 weeks early, so they were premature. And so after a kind of quick little cuddle with Helen, they were then taken off by the doctors to try and make sure that all the breathing was okay. They came out a slightly bluish colour because not enough oxygen was getting to the skin, to everywhere that it needed to go. And so Josh was in one cot, and Luke was placed into another cot, and you had a paediatrician on each one and some other members of staff, and then a whole team around Helen. Helen had lost so much blood that the blood pressure had dropped to dangerously low levels that she needed a blood transfusion, 3 units of blood. And so I'm there in the middle, kind of, who do I go to? Like, how can I help? What do I do here? And the dreams of that, of meeting my children for the first time, it's like, actually, I'm not even sure there'll be another time. I can see the numbers, the oxygen levels in Josh and Luke, they were not good. I was scared for their life. I was scared for Helen's life. What do I do? The three most important things, the three most important people in my life, kind of hanging by a thread in some ways. I don't know about you, but I jumped to the worst case scenario. And there, I didn't know what to do. So I'd kind of go and hold Helen's hand, and then I'd go and look and think, oh, I can't deal with that because I can't do anything here. And I feel so powerless. What can I do? And then Josh reached out his hand. He obviously didn't know what he was doing, but he reached out his hand, little though it was. And I realized that the only thing I could do there was just put my little finger into his grip. And it came up to my nail. That's all it was. £4.10 they were both were. So small, so vulnerable. And I realized in that moment that if this was the only moment of intimacy I would get with my child, that I'm going to make the most of this. That this is going to be my moment with my child. And I did the same for Luke, and I let them hold my finger. And in that moment, I dreamt of all the intimate moments that I could have in the future with them, where it would move from a little finger to a cuddle, And we weren't actually allowed to hold them for 2 days. And that first moment when I held Luke, we weren't allowed to hold each of them. So Helen had Josh and I had Luke. And we were able to hold them. And then there came a day a bit later on where I was able to hold both of them. And the intimacy grew as we were able to cuddle and to kiss. And obviously as they got older, to play. And those moments were going through my mind. I want them to know so much more than just my fingernail. I want them to get to know me. I want them to know me more. I want them to know that I'm for them, that I want the best for them, that I will be there for them as much as I can, that I love them, and that they deserve the best. And I will give them the best as much as I'm able to in my brokenness, in my frailty. And in that moment, I prayed that I would be able to say that they can know me more and that they would grow to know and to love me as I love them. Josh was reaching out, maybe not even deliberately, but he was reaching out for something, and that what I could give him was my finger. And it was such a beautiful moment of intimacy. And it's what God desires for us. And what we're going to do over the next 10 or so weeks is we're going to look at a passage from 2 Peter. 2 Peter was written by Peter, the apostle of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus, and this was written at the end of his life. And he was writing to a group of people who were under the threat of persecution. And this was his last words, and they were in danger of moving away from the true hope, the true good news of Jesus, into a place that wasn't the true nature of the gospel. And Peter was writing to correct that and to say, move into a deeper relationship with Jesus, a deeper relationship with God, because he wants that relationship with you. And I'm just going to read the first 11 verses here. So it should come up on the screen. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. I've just realized how small that is. I'm sorry, I thought it was bigger than that. Anyway, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I say, we're going to spend the next 10, 12 weeks or so looking at this passage. So I'm not going to go through it verse by verse, but I just want to bring out something that is clear from this passage, that God is looking for us to reach out to him, because he has already reached out to us and shown us more of himself. And you'll notice that the word knowledge is used 5 times in this passage. And there are actually 2 different Greek words that they use here. And the first one is gnosis, which is in verse 5 and 6. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And this is about head knowledge. This is about the understanding of what makes someone tick. It's like the academic knowledge that you could learn about someone. You could learn about God. And this is what Peter is saying to the people that he's writing to, that you should use what you have to get to know about God more. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, head knowledge, an understanding, an academic understanding of who God is. But the rest of the words for knowledge is actually a different word. It's epignosis. And this comes up in verse 2, 3, and 8. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is about experiential knowledge. It goes from the head into the heart, if you like. It's like the experience of who God is, that you don't just know about him, but that you know him. Imagine at the beginning of my kid's life, I wrote down everything there is to know about me. And I gave that book, that manual to Helen and said, I'm not going to meet the kids. Here's the manual, tell them about me. And they would find out some interesting stuff. It would be good. There'd be some things that she could say that I would like for my kids, that I want them to behave in a certain way, that I want them to grow in a certain way, that daddy loves you and all these things. That may all be true. But if they never experienced it, how could they know? How could they experience? How could they have that intimacy? And of course, there are many people who grow up without that understanding from their parents. And if that's you today, what God wants to say to you here in this place is that regardless of your background, regardless of your parenting, regardless of how you understood your father, regardless of how you understood your mum, or whatever your circumstances are, that God wants you to know him, to experience him. And however limited your background might feel, however limited your understanding of God might be because of that background, God says that is not a barrier to being in relationship with God. He wants to know you, and he has made himself known so that we can come into a relationship with him and we can experience who he is. God wants us to know him and not just know about him. One of the most amazing testimonies I heard at Soul Survivor from one of the young people who was there, I was having a discussion with one of the leaders about the song Good, Good Father and the theology behind it and all that it means about God being a good, good father. And this young person just piped up, you know, I didn't have a good experience about my dad. There were lots of things that happened that mean that I didn't know my dad and that he didn't treat me well and all that kind of stuff. But this week, for the first time, I have understood that God is my father, and that is a good thing. See, God has revealed himself to the world, to us, as a good father. And when we see some of those imperfect images through us, through the world, and it gets in the way of who God is, we need to turn back to what the Bible says about who God is. We need to experience God for who he is and to know that he is a good father and he is enough for us, even when those around us let us down. And for this young person, they had a revelation that God is good. And it went from an understanding that God is good through a song to actually knowing in her heart that she could be changed, that God is good. And if we look at this passage, we see so many things that we about God that are true. We see that he is righteous, that he is savior, that he is gracious, that he is peace giver, that he is power, that he is provider, that he is king, that he is Lord, that he is everything we need him to be. He has revealed himself and given us everything we need to live a life with him. And we can say that's good. We know about God that these things are true. And Peter is saying, but it's more than that. Have we experienced that these things are true? Do we know that God is savior, that he is gracious, that he is Lord? Not just up here, as in, yeah, okay, that might be true. Have we experienced it? Have we experienced his generous provision? Have we experienced his fatherhood? Have we experienced his salvation? Have we known him as king? His forgiveness, his love, his kindness. These are things that are not only true about God, but that we can experience personally for ourselves in our day-to-day lives. And because he has given us each of those things, he has poured out those things on us, he has reached down into this earth and he has reached out his hand. Each time we experience some of his goodness, each time we experience some of those things, it's like we're reaching up our hand to grip his little finger, to grip himself to grip God, because he has invited us into an intimate and loving relationship with him. He has invited us to be in life with him. And you know, King David is a wonderful example of this. He's someone who we know to be a great worshipper. And we know that from the beginning of his life, he was anointed to be king of Israel. And having been anointed to be king of Israel, he then defeats Goliath, he defeats his enemy. And then he goes back to being a shepherd and he's defeating the enemies of the sheep. He's defeating the wolves and the lions. And he's in this place where he's constantly fighting a battle. And then even though he knows he's going to be king, he's then fighting a battle really with the actual king, with Saul. And he has an enemy in Saul and Saul chases him away. And even when he becomes king, there are still enemies that he has to fight and enemies that he has to get rid of and enemies that he has to say to God, Lord, deal with this. And having defeated those enemies, having defeated the barriers to him taking on all that God intended for him to be, David writes this, "The Lord is my rock." This is in Psalm 18, verse 2. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." You see, David had seen this to be true. He had experienced it. And then he writes the verse before this in verse 1. He says, "I love you, Lord, my strength." You see, what he knew to be true about God, he had experienced in God. And when that happened, he turned to be in a relationship with God and he could declare, "I love you, Lord." He moved from knowing about God and through his life and experience of who God was, he moved into an intimate relationship with him. And it was like each time he would reach up his hand and hold on to God. And that is what God is asking for each one of us, to reach out to him, because he has already reached out to us. He has already given us all we need. He is our rock and fortress and deliverer. He wants us to reach out. And there are so many stories in my life of where this has been true. I could take up the next hour telling stories of how I know God to be good, how I know God to be provider. And if you want to come on afterwards, I will happily share those stories with you. I just want to share two of those stories with you. Most of you will know, and most of you, or some of you might know this story, but I think it's an important story because it was one of the most profound things, profound times where I learnt about who God is. Most of you know I grew up in a Christian family and I went to uni wanting to be a Christ follower. And I knew about God, I knew who he was, and I also knew that I wanted to be with him. I also knew something about his goodness. I'd experienced his goodness, I'd experienced his salvation, I'd experienced his provision, and I wanted that to continue. But when I went to uni, it was like something was pulling me away from that. It was like I was being dragged away from that, and I could still have my head knowledge. I would still read the Bible, I would still pray, I would still want to know about God, but I had missed the fact that I wanted to experience who he was. I was losing that experience, and when I did that, I chased after other things that were far less satisfactory. Friendships, not necessarily a bad thing, but when I placed that as my hope, my popularity is something that I wanted, to be respected, to be popular. I chased after other things like alcohol and looking at the wrong things on the internet and all those kind of things that were not good for me and that were not satisfying, but yet I continued to chase them. And by the second year, I got to the beginning of the second year and I'd worked up a really good group of friends. And the thing with birthdays, and mine was at the beginning of the second year, is that when you have a birthday in that context, it was the aim of everybody else who would come to a party to get you as drunk as you possibly could. And so people would come over to our house and, "Oh, Dan, here's a drink, drink that." And because I wanted to be popular, because I wanted to be liked, I would take it and try and get drunk. I wasn't trying to get drunk, but It's inevitable when you're doing that, when you're drinking that much alcohol. And so we all went, having had a few drinks, to this nightclub. And we danced around, and it was a bit silly, and it was a bit of fun. And because it's my birthday, I'd often be in the center of the attention. So I'd be doing all these kind of good moves, and moving around like I thought I knew how to dance. And people would be pointing at me, laughing, and it always great fun. And then a song from The Killers came on, and I was a bit oblivious because I was probably the drunkest of everyone, and I'm dancing around. And suddenly I noticed this whole circle kind of gathering around me. Some of the people I didn't even know. And it would get to the chorus and the whole of the group would start saying, "He doesn't look a thing like Jesus, buddy." And everyone fall around laughing, thinking this is funny because he knows Jesus. This is funny because he's a Christian and there's Jesus in the song. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny, Dan? And we all continued to have what was supposed to be a good time. And then we went home, I fell asleep, and I woke up the next morning with a splitting headache and a churning stomach, feeling awful, feeling like I'd let myself down. And in that moment, I had the words of that song. "He doesn't look a thing like Jesus." What I'd experienced of God up to that point, I knew that in that moment and through my time up to that point at uni, that I didn't look like who I wanted to be. And what was even more remarkable was that in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "You don't look a thing like Jesus, but I'm here with you." Because in my mind, I'd have thought God would say, "I'm done. I'm done with you. Okay, if that's how you want to behave, go on, be my guest." But he loved me too much. He'd shown too much grace to me to leave me alone. And in his grace, he pulled me back to himself. And in that moment, just like Josh, I reached out to God. And you know, I wish I continued to do that all the time. I wish I was continually reaching out to him. Even this week, I got back from holiday on Monday, and on Tuesday, I went to the Wellspring Senior Leadership Team prayer meeting. And I'll be honest with you, I did not want to go. I don't know if you've ever been to a prayer meeting like that. Maybe you're even sitting there right now thinking, "I don't want to be here." And I did not want to go. Helen and I had had an argument before I left. I got there and thought, I'd rather be dealing with that right now, and I'm here stuck in this prayer meeting that I don't want to be at. And even if, and I'd still rather be on holiday, you know, I don't want to be in this prayer meeting praying when I could have been on the beach. You know, all that kind of thing was going through my mind. And even if I've got to be at work, Lord, please, please, why do I have to pray? Why on earth do I have to be in this place praying about these things? I've got so much to do. I've got this to talk about with this person. I've got a sermon to prepare. I've got this to do. I've got to go home and deal with that. I've got to go and deal with that when I've... And it's like this whole bunch of things that I've got to do, and I did not want to be there. So as we started praying, I started sorting through all these thoughts in my mind. It's like, okay, right, so I'm going to do that then, and I'm going to prepare the sermon then. I'm going to go home and say sorry to Helen firstly. That should have come first, actually. And all these things that I could then do. And through the rubbish that was going on in my mind, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Do you know me as Lord?" And I was like, "Of course I do. Like, I'm here. when I don't want to be, of course I know you as Lord. Don't you even know me?" And then the Lord said to me, "No, don't you even know me?" And as I processed that, I realized what God was saying to me was that if I really knew him, as I've experienced him in the past, his goodness, his provision, his peace in the midst of all that's going on in life, if I knew him, the meeting that I've got to have next week at 3 o'clock with that person, I can leave it to him. The sermon I've got to prepare, I can leave to him. what I've got to do, I can leave to him. And I was like, wow. I'm sorry, Lord. And I reached out again to grab his hand because he had reached down to me. And I just said, I'm sorry. And you know what's remarkable? Solutions to all those things came up. All the things that were on my mind, in one sense, they were unimportant. I received his peace. And this is the thing, what Peter says right at the beginning of his letter, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we know and experience him, when we know his grace as I did when I drunk too much, when I know his peace as I did this Tuesday when I was praying, it's because I knew who he was and I had experienced his love, his grace, and his peace. So where do we need to reach out to Jesus today? Where do we need to experience his love and his goodness? And we can get to know him. We can get to know him because he has revealed himself to us. He has revealed himself to us through the Bible. And we know the Bible to be true, a reflection of who God is. It's like the manual I was telling you about earlier, but even more so because it tells stories of how God has shown himself to be all these things in the lives of others. I wonder, do we spend time reading the Bible and getting to know Jesus? And he's revealed himself to us through his Holy Spirit. And there are lots of stories in Acts, in places like Acts 19 and Acts 8, where there are a group of disciples who have heard about Jesus, have given their lives to Jesus, and they're in a place where they have head knowledge about who Jesus is. And the apostles come along and say, have you received the Holy Spirit? And when the Holy Spirit came on them, they moved from having head knowledge, the gnosis about God, to experiencing God, the Holy Spirit, and knowing him and experiencing him personally. And I wonder, have you experienced him personally? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And for those of us who feel so busy that for me to give two things, read the Bible and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you think, oh, not another two things to add to my schedule, two more things to do. Let me say this. The Lord loves it when we take a step towards him, when we reach out our hand. And it might only be small, but I loved it when Josh reached out his hand. And you know what? Most of you know that our twins were IVF children, and the whole process is a bit bizarre. But when the embryos are created, our embryos were then put in the freezer. And so we had one cycle, and the first one, that they didn't make it. But then we had these two more embryos left, and they grade them according to how likely it is to work. And both Josh and Luke, they said to us, they're not very likely to work, so we'll put both of them in. And so they defrosted them. I know it's bizarre. They defrosted them, got them out of the freezer, and then they came to us and they said, you know, your children have grown. That's a really good sign. And Helen and I looked at each other. Our children have grown. They're only 16 cells big. They're still not even visible to the human eye. And we were like, yes, our children have grown. And we celebrated that like we did this week when Josh and Luke learned to ride a bike. You know, as a parent, you love those moments. And that's how God feels when we just reach out a hand, however small. So it's not a list of things to do. It's not a list of things to do. It's just, how can we get to know Jesus? And imagine a world where we all reach out our hands to know Jesus, to know him more. Imagine what that would do for each one of us in this room if we today actively choose to reach out our hands towards God. Imagine what that would do for this community and the schools and everybody who lives here. Imagine what it would do for our nation. Imagine what it would do for our government if everyone who was there reached out their hands and said to Jesus, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I don't just want to have head knowledge about you. I want to know you. how different this nation would be. It's an invitation that God gives each one of us today.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.